listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Kellen, we can't hear you.
Wow. I am sorry. Sam, Michelle, I apologize for that. Welcome to the show today. You've got a minute of me, my mouth moving, and no noise at all. And I didn't have the comment section open, so Sam was sending me messages. Where are you? We're live now. So welcome to our show today, Your Ultimate Life. The show that I have been doing for several years to help you create a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy. We've got a special guest today, Michelle Kubicek. So, Michelle, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
You're absolutely welcome, and I'm glad you jumped on to tell me. I was like, what are you doing? All right, so I don't do formal introductions here, but what you do will come out in the kind of things that we talk about. But I see you have a thing there that says sovereign embodiment. And I love both of those words. They're really important to me. So why don't you tell our listeners, tell us what that is. What is sovereign embodiment?
So sovereign embodiment is what I'm creating. And I'm creating this for especially women to really step into their purpose, into their body, to be truly authentically themselves. It's been my path for the last couple of years. I've learned I was completely out of my body, trying to search completely externally for everything constantly, achievements, accomplishments, and was recognizing that never worked. And it was like one burnout session after another, until 3 years ago. I looked at the date. It was about 3 years ago and my entire life fell apart. And that's when I really was like, what's going on? What is this? And I really deemed it my spiritual awakening because I never went through something like I did 3 years ago.
So it's interesting that it seems like, you know, not always, but quite often it takes some kind of a really significant event for us to really choose who we want to be and to step into ourselves, I guess, is sort of a cliche statement, but it's real, and sometimes it feels like that. So what do you, whatever you want to share, what is it that happened 3 years ago? You said there's things falling apart one after another, and I'm certainly familiar with that song and dance. So what happened, whatever you want to share, that made you decide it was time to wake up and claim something different?
You explain it pretty well. Everything fell apart. I kept asking myself, I was like, I want to do the inner work. I want to do the inner work. And I was going to therapy and I was like, what is this inner work that everybody's talking about? And I was hating like every part of my life. And I recognized I was trying to hold on to it so much, just like out of the ego. Cause it's like, I had an amazing job in sales. I was in a relationship with a guy who's buying a house for us, but there was this calling from myself, my intuition, that I needed to travel. And I was so scared out of my mind. And within, I would say, like a month, it was June of 2023, I woke up on June 1st, not knowing really anything about reality. I was completely out of my body. And just intuition was super strong. It was like, let go of the job, let go of the relationship, let go of the friends, let go of family, let go of your religion, let go of all the things you owned and pack up a small book bag and go to Bali. And I had no idea where Bali was, what I was doing at that moment in my life. Also, time felt like non-existent. It's like I looked at time and I thought hours had passed and it was like 5 minutes had passed. And it was the most insane thing ever, but it's what changed me completely, because it's like I followed my intuition then and I followed into uncertainty. And I was absolutely terrified. I flew across the world, went to Bali, and I had no idea what was happening, but I lived there for 8 months and that changed my life. And after that, I started to travel and, you know, I let go of one job, took on more jobs. And it's like when I had a vision of what I wanted, those things came to my life.
So talk to me about what attracted you. And maybe you don't know, because you didn't even know where Bali was. It is, you know, some people go there for different reasons. But what is it that you found? What happened there? Because, you know, it's another external thing. Gee, a new place and et cetera, et cetera. But I suspect that there was a lot going on that was more powerful inside. So what was going on? What happened there?
So initially I learned about Bali. I was following this one woman on social media and I was following her and she was responding to me and I still never looked at it on a map. I was just like, I don't know. Bali looks like this place with all greenery and rice fields. And I was like, okay. But then this intuition became stronger. It was March of 2023 when I was like, oh, I need to solo travel and go to Bali. I didn't know why, but yeah, I arrived there and lived there for 8 months and I learned a lot about spirituality there. It's like, I never knew that my connection, I grew up Roman Catholic and I was the most Catholic one in my family. And I thought that through religion, I had the strong connection to God. I didn't know I was spiritual and had that strong connection to a higher power. And I learned more about spirituality. I sat with teachers, learned more about the nervous system, learned more about that aspect. But you are also very right what you said. It's just another place. Because in the last few years, I also traveled. Last year, I traveled and I was constantly looking for this thing. And I was like, what am I looking for? And then I finally like came back to myself. I learned these energetic basics and energetic foundations in order to come back to my body. Because what I learned through all my travels was it's not the place, but it's the people that make the difference. Yeah, visiting a new place is amazing. You get the insights from the place. But at the end of the day, when I was traveling alone, it wasn't always the greatest. It was when I met people from these different countries and I sat down and had hour-long conversations with people. That was the most amazing part.
Wow. So when you got to Bali, you didn't know anybody. Did you just picked a hotel and lived in it for a while, or did you find a place to live? I just am curious about, you know, the logistics just for a minute. Like, what happened? You got off the airplane and what?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So I think it was like the day before. It's like, because I had a layover in Bangkok and I was in a hostel there because I never did that type of life. And then once I got to Bali, I also stayed in a hostel and I met people there. And then one time I was going to a breathwork session and I met someone. And it was just this intuition where we got dinner and it was like, okay, well, we feel right to live together. So I trusted my intuition and I had my own room and this other person had their own room and we lived in a villa and we did our own stuff. And yeah, it's this intuition that leads me to understanding people and I started leaning more into this and what feels safe.
You know, that intuition, I love that. And that's why I ask, because intuition is a gift that anyone can cultivate. And the noise of the world often pushes it out and, you know, makes it so we don't hear it. And the society we're sort of raised in makes it so we don't trust it. So some things make it so we don't hear it and other things so we don't trust it. What do you do to sharpen or develop your ability to hear intuitive hits, intuition?
I love that question because it's when I wasn't listening to my intuition a few years ago, that's what caused my entire body to give up on itself. That's when I had my spiritual awakening. What I didn't mention about my spiritual awakening is I was bedridden for a couple months. It was mainly for like a month, but then it was really hard for me to like walk around and stuff. And it's when I started to listen to my intuition, what my body was telling me around certain people, that's when I started getting energy. Like if I needed to leave a certain situation, if I needed to leave a certain relationship, leave a job, like that's when I gained more energy. And the same thing applies like now. It's my mind will try to tell me something because that's our conditioning. That's like conditioning. Whereas once you go into your body and you're grounded in your body and into like your bones, your essence, your core, then you start realizing like, okay, what is my body telling me? Instead of your mind will go from fear and try to tell you everything that's, you know, what you already know, it's certain, instead of like, it's trying to keep you safe basically and keep you running in old patterns. So where I'm going with this is with my intuition is my body tells me the truth and how I feel rather than my mind constantly telling me what's right or wrong.
Why do you suppose...
Go ahead.
No, finish the way you were.
So the way I usually get to that is I've been practicing like really grounding myself every single day in every single moment to like this power that I have in my body. Because it's like, how do I say? It's this power that comes like from the pelvis area. And I'm like grounding deep into the earth where I'm like, okay, I got this. Because before in my life, it was kind of like falling apart. Why can other people be doing this? And why can't I? And it's like, okay, once I really dedicated myself to grounding and practicing my meditation, energetic basics, it's like, oh, I can be that person too. Because I used to be that person that was like, how is everybody else doing it? So.
Yeah. Yeah. So I love the words. You're using words that are used a lot in personal development and energetic work. And I want to repeat some of them or maybe ask a little bit to make sure people understand. You're talking about grounding. You talked about essentially the chakras, the basal chakra and the connection to the earth and that creating a flow of power. I mean, those are all measurable things. They're not just, even though they're sometimes woo-woo speak, but they're measurable things. That energetic aura and stuff like that is stuff that can be measured. So it's real. And I guess my question is, why do we create a world where that is so either ignored or it's not taught or it is so rare? Why is that the world that we've created? What do you think?
Well, what I often see in my clients and kind of how I ran, and it's all through programming. Like, I feel like, you know, sometimes religion is meant to separate us and it's all coming from the mind. So like, I'll tell my clients, like they're trying to figure how to get into their body through the mind. And there's obviously a path here from the mind to the body, but you can't do it through thinking yourself into it. So this is where like a lot, I feel like a lot of society is just, we have to think, we have to constantly think our way through things instead of feeling our way through things. So thinking our way through things is, you know, following what society tells us to do. We're programmed to, you know, climb the corporate ladder, do this, do that. And that's kind of what people do because that's what's considered safe because people are scared to feel into their body. I hope I'm answering your question.
You're doing just perfect. I'm just answering. I'm asking what you think. Like, we obviously live in a world where, you know, there's some awakening happen. You can feel the energetic shifting and people talk about that. But by and large, we're still programmed to chase things and money and status and these sort of external validations. And you're talking about intuition and how things feel inside of us and this energetic flow and so forth, which is way different than that. So when someone comes to you who sees who you are energetically, or they hear you talk and they're like, I want to have some of that. I want you to teach me how to listen to my intuition or how to hear it, or I want to learn that, but I don't believe I can. I don't think I can. And they're sort of buried in layers of this programming that you talked about. Where do you start with people to help them first, maybe even believe that it's possible and then start down the road of learning?
Well, I love that question because a lot of the times, like you said, people will be like, I can't. I'm like, oh, that's the, not the projection, but the shield you have around the soul. because we have all these layers around us that try to tell us, oh, we can't, we don't know how to do this. That's the mind telling you. That's the fear trying to keep you safe, because that's the only thing you know. So I start teaching them the energetic basics that I do. And we start, you know, there's 5 to 6 fundamental steps. And I teach them through the grounding, through tuning into the essence in your bones, and through the core, the auric edge, all of that, so that they can stop listening to that voice and start listening to their body. A lot of clients, because I'm also, you know, sovereign embodiment, but I've been a dietitian. So I've had my own path with an eating disorder. So I've seen a lot of eating disorder clients. And I tell them, I'm like, your vision is clouded by this eating disorder voice. And I help them see like what's happening. And in the moments where people are heightened, like let's say heightened energy, a heightened energetic state is, let's say, anger or extreme joy, anything that kind of brings you up into pattern, that's when a lot of these thoughts will come in, this fear, or try to keep you small. So it's like, how can we bring you back down into the body? So I explain these things to them in order to help them bring them, so they know the concepts first, the analytical mind, but then also teaching them how to come back in.
What would you, like, in your own personal experience, you know, first learning to having difficulties yourself and some breakdown, and then hearing intuition to first go to Bali, and then some other travel that you've done. What do you find to, like, if I ask you, what is the core message that you have learned? So you had these experiences, you were programmed, you followed the programming, you broke, you listened and learned to intuition, listen to intuition and travel and so forth. And if you had to say the core message, like if you had 1 minute or 2 minutes to tell somebody what the core truth is that you've discovered that you really want to share, what would that be?
Mm-hmm. So before I even go into that, I do want to mention one thing that'll help me tell you what's Great. Going on. But most of last year, I was also in bed because I was told I had mold toxicity, and I really held on to that identity.
I don't know what that is.
This is all, it's an environmental toxin that gets into the body, and it's like black mold. And my body was just shutting down. Yeah. Okay. So the one thing that kept me going was a vision. Like, even though my mind was telling me, oh, I'm going to be sick all my life, this is going to be this way all this life, I had a vision. So the moral of the story, or what you asked me about, is I always had a vision going forward, always having a vision, believing that what's ahead is even better than what is now. And that through being your authentic self and through being embodied, you will start to attract people and relationships that are meant to be in your life to move you forward.
So if I learn, I'm just trying to make sure I understand this. So if I learn to listen to my body instead of so much my mind, and I listen to it and I learn to understand intuition and things that it's trying to tell me, both my energetic body and my physical body, that it will attract into my life situations, people, and things that are good and that will help me move forward. Is that true?
I would say being your authentic self and being embodied is the first step, and then moving forward with the vision and moving forward with that and holding that vision in your life. And that doesn't mean like, oh, I'm going to sit in bed and just be like, okay, I have this vision, like universe, send everything to me. Like, no, we need to take action in our life. Even when I was in bed, I was still taking action to get better. That was the hardest part. But it's through being embodied, being your authentic self, and knowing the vision you want and taking action in the world that the universe provides for that.
If I ask you what your vision is, like for the world, I share this. So I have a vision. The reason I do this show and my other podcast and all the things that I do is I have a vision. You have a vision. So what is your vision? If you could fully express your vision or fully create it, what does it look like?
Mm-hmm. So I would say there's two things, but I think they come together, all together. But my first one is really to help women break free out of these patterns and see their possibility in this world and their sovereignty, and to be that leader that they are fully embodied, instead of falling victim, instead of falling into people pleasing and how society has taught women to be, but to fully be themselves. And I feel like through this, being your authentic self, just for the world, everything coming from love. Because once everything comes from love, there's just like this heart opening that everybody is seen and heard and listened to, and we can all come together. So those are my big two visions for the world.
Do you feel like lots of people talk to me about the impending changes or the dawn of these new energetic changes? They talk in terms like that. Do you feel that there's some large change going on energetically in the world right now?
I absolutely believe there's a huge consciousness shift going on. And I say this because even through my travels, like, I'll give you a couple of examples. When I was in London, I was just walking around and my intuition guided me to like a Michelin star restaurant. And I'm like, why am I supposed to go in here alone? And I went in and I sat there and I ate. And as I was leaving, the two women at the reception asked me, they're like, why'd you come here by yourself? And I told them my story, like I'm saying, you know, my awakening and so on and so forth. And this one girl was like, wait, my shift is ending. I need to talk to you. I'm like, okay. And we ended up talking for the rest of the night, walking through London, because she told me she had this huge awakening. She had no idea what was going on. She just knew random. She got random downloads. She knew random languages. And she just knew like past information that no one knew. And she was scared because this was something that nobody was aware of. But she shared that with me. And I'm like, okay, how would my intuition have guided me there to have learned about this woman? And the same thing happened in like a park where I randomly met someone. And he also went through this whole energetic shift with healing through his hands and energy and such. So I believe there is energy between us that, you know, if we're coming from an energy of love and abundance, that comes back to us. And if not, if we're, you know, from hate and fear, that's kind of what you're trapped in. So it's like, so within, so without. And I know I was years ago, like, you know, I had all this hate, like full of my, like, just so inside of myself. And that was the same thing I was attracting. So once I started to be like, okay, what's going on? How do I cultivate more of this love for myself? Because it always comes from myself first. Only I can make a change for myself in order for other people to make or to feel the change, and then they change.
You know, it's amazing to me when I talk to people, and I'm in there too, but that are involved in this energetic transformation, these shifts and that kind of thing. We all tend to use the same language, you know, coming from love instead of, you know, scarcity or fear or the opposite kinds of things. If you had to guess, like, why do you think this big shift, and maybe you do and maybe you don't, but people talk about this planetary shift that's happening. Where do you think that's coming from? Like, what's going on that's causing this? Because I agree with you. I've sensed it, and I hear dozens of people talk about it. They all use different language and different experiences to describe how they got there. But I'm just curious where you would say, why is this happening? Where is it coming from?
That's a good question. I don't know where it's coming from, but I would say, at least from the way I grew up, I always thought it was like a competition against like people. I always needed to reach the ladder, do things on my own, by myself, be the best. So it wasn't just me competing with myself, it was me competing with others. Whereas now I recognize like that doesn't work. Like, we need each other. We're here as, I guess we're all one, right? One consciousness. We're all here to help each other and use whatever skills I have to help you, whatever skills you have to help me and the whole entire world. So the only way to do that is to see each other as, you know, we're here to benefit one another and help each other. So in a way, I think this is also going from, if we go more into like the energy world, like masculine, feminine energies, we both have masculine and feminine energies within ourselves. But I would say, like, masculine energy is more like competition, going, controlling. Feminine energy is more feeling, being, So I feel like we're kind of more shifting into that feminine energy of not that competitive state, but being and helping one another. Because, you know, if I have everything, what good does that do if the whole world doesn't have that?
I love that. And I think you're 100% right. And I wonder, I agree with the masculine and feminine. I agree that there's just like the yin yang kind of thing, you know, the curvy things in the yin and yang. And there is, like, we are whatever divinity, whatever consciousness created us, you know, whether you came from Roman Catholic. So the God that created all things certainly did not intend for us to be cruel and unkind. And the way I describe it is we're built to love and serve each other, even physically, because we have, you know, neurochemistry that feels good when we're in love and service. And when we're in fear and anger, we have neurochemistry that sucks, you know, and it's corrosive and everything else. And so I also feel like there's a spiritual equivalent. Like, we know the names, dopamine and oxytocin and anandamide and all that stuff, but we don't know the names of the spiritual or energetic equivalent neurotransmitters, but I bet you there are some. I don't know.
You know, the way I see it, I think there's the funnel, the energy vibration funnel, where at the bottom there's like fear. And as we go higher, the energy vibrations rise and there's love close to the top, or authenticity. And the way I speak about it is when there's this like constriction in your chest, I would say that's more of, let's say, fear or anxiety that keeps you small. Like, that's how I kind of relate more like the energy side to the feeling side. Whereas if you think love and abundance, you just feel this expansion in your chest, expansion in your body. Kind of, you see life differently when you're going from scarcity, fear, you're thinking small and everything's tight and your body reacts the same way. You know, your nervous system starts to constrict. You go into like sympathetic response because of scarcity. You know, your shoulders start holding all that tension. Whereas if you think abundance, all of that expands. So I think that relates sort of somehow to more the spiritual side, or how I kind of see things.
Yeah, you know, I love it. You're exactly right. And everybody uses different words. What occurred to me when you said that is in those lower, like, I think David Hawkins in Power versus Force, or one of those books, is the one that drew that first, or maybe not, I don't know. But when I think about those low frequencies, you know, shame, guilt and fear and hate and all that stuff, and then you think of the other end, enlightenment and, you know, compassion and love and creativity and joy. It also feels like dark to light, like just sort of intrinsically. Mm-hmm. If you say fear, shame, guilt, love, your face contracts. And if you had to draw a picture of it, it would be black scribbles. Like, nobody would draw black scribbles for joy and creativity, right?
Yeah. Well, on that topic, because like a couple of minutes ago, you mentioned the whole dopamine thing. Why are people chasing things? So we look at shame and fear and all of those. So many of us don't want to feel that. That is the inner work, to feel that. But what people end up doing is like, it's chasing everything outside of ourselves. It's chasing the dopamine. If that's through food, if that's through, you know, constantly going out, if that's through alcohol, drugs, and porn, like all of that, that's, people are chasing something outside of themselves instead of being with themselves through that, you know, for lack of better words, icky feeling, because people don't want to think of themselves as less. So it's like, if there's shame, people become defensive. They never did that, because the ego comes in and we fall into this illusion of the mind.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. So when you look at the work that you're doing right now, where you've been guided in the last 3 years, and it's interesting that you've had different experiences with illness of some kind, physical illness or some kind of symptoms, and have then gotten past that. Where do you see your work going? Like, what for the next year, the rest of this year, what is your goal? What are you going in your growth and what you're doing?
Mm-hmm. I really want to be bringing women together so that we can practice this embodiment together, because being in community is huge. doing things one-on-one is great, which I work with clients on one-on-one, but I really want to be bringing women together to do this work, if that's online or in person. But also just, I want to be sharing, like I am here, sharing what I've learned through like two people, so that it's like I'm lived experience. The only way like I could have shared all of this stuff is because I went through it. And there's such a difference between learning something through a textbook versus going through it. So I want to be sharing this with others and helping them uncover this through speaking, through more podcasts. I'd love to do this, but really bringing communities of people together so that, you know, we feel that vibration, we feel that love, and that we're, you know, we're not in this alone.
Well, I love that. So do you have a, have you started creating some kind of community yet, or is this something that's coming?
Well, I'm in the process of, right now, I'm still, you know, within the dietetics world, and I'm creating more communities there with women. But as well, like I'm creating Sovereign Embodiment, and this is where I have women also practicing the energetic basics that I've spoken about, and really honing in on their skills, like not their skills, but their body and what they are wanting in this life and this vision. So moving forward, what are they wanting to create? How do they move forward in this life? So it's both, still doing both, but I'm enjoying both of them.
You know, it's really interesting. You mentioned the diet, dietetics and the food and, you know, that kind of stuff earlier. And it is such a, not a coincidence, but such a powerful thing that our bodies so completely reflect the condition of our spirits. And if we don't love ourselves, and if we have shame, and if we are having those negative neurotransmitters energetically, whatever their names are, and that it reflects in our bodies in terms of how we treat ourselves and how we take care of our bodies and that sort of thing. How do you help people see and then do something with that correlation to their benefit?
So I can see that because I've been through that. Years ago, I used to be a competitive runner, and then I got into powerlifting, but that was all through hate. It was through so much hate for my body. I hated myself. I hated how I looked. I needed to keep losing weight, even though I got to a certain point that I lost weight. And then it's like, oh, I need to continue going more. I ran myself to the ground as a competitive runner. I had what's called the female athlete triad, where I underfueled myself so much that I, you know, lost fat, lost estrogen, broke both of my bones. And I continued to run because it was just through so much hate. It was like, your body, you need to do this, like so much negative talk. And then once that stopped working, I moved to like powerlifting, and it was pushing every single day, pushing until 3 years ago, my body fell apart. That's when my awakening happened, and I couldn't get out of bed. I couldn't walk. I couldn't lift. So when I see clients and they tell me certain things, I become very aware of the certain talk that they're going through. What is their motivation for wanting to make the change? Where is it coming from? Because I see if it's coming from like love of their body or hate, from like hate of their body. Because it's like, oh, I just need to lose this much weight, or, oh, I just need to do this in my life or accomplish this. And it's like, no, like, what are you now? Because you've already been down this path of, you know, once you get this, once you get that, and it hasn't worked. So it comes down to the present moment. Like, can you see yourself now and what you have and how your body is now and who you are now? Because whatever's in the future doesn't really, it matters, yes, but it's not going to bring you that joy that you're looking for.
You know, you said two things in there that really struck me. One is how important it is to learn to love yourself as you are. I find in the work that I do that when people can't do stuff, or they have these stories and fear and internal blocks and all that stuff, I start with, you don't love yourself. And that's the core of these fearful things. And you mentioned something about that. Talk about how important it is and how to go about really starting to learn. How do you teach me to learn to love myself?
I like that. So initially, I'll just say from my experience, I needed to do it because my entire life fell apart and I couldn't walk. So how I teach clients is, can we see what your body has been through, you know, however someone old, like, let's say someone's 30 years old, can we see what your body already has been through, what you have been through, but your mind is still telling you need to get to a certain point. Like, if we look at the past, it's, your body has been through, you know, you're a child, you went through everything as a teenager, just your 20s and changing jobs, relationships, this, and you're still on this earth today. Like, you didn't do this by chance. Like, there's a reason you're here. Can we look at the positives of what your body has done and what you have done and where it's gotten you to? And can we use more of that to move forward? And I will say, this is not easy. This is not going to happen overnight. This is a long journey, but recognizing where can you have compassion for yourself? Because your mind will continue, like I said, to go back to what, you know, how it functions, what is certain. So like, if you kept motivating yourself through fear and through hating your body, your mind will continue to do that. But it's like becoming aware of those things. And it may be difficult at first, but you know, you become aware of one thing and it's like, okay, I did that. So let me change my mind there. What is something compassionate about my body? And even if it has to start at like the smallest thing, let's say, for example, for myself, it's like, oh, I was able to walk today because I wasn't able to walk before. So even from the simplest thing, seeing that, because it's not going to be the accomplishments that it's not going to, like, we're all, people are chasing a corporate ladder and it's constantly thinking that's what's going to get us further. And that's what is going to be better. But it's like, can we see in the moment what we have? What is your body doing? What are you able to do? What is one thing that you did better like today than yesterday? And seeing those little like movements and how your body has changed.
I'm grateful for you for teaching that. Self-compassion and self-forgiveness and self-love, those were all things that I struggled with just terribly during decades of story that we won't do here. But and then learning to love, like to love and appreciate myself and to forgive the mistakes, the humanness that was there, was such a difficult thing. And at the same time, learning that and applying it every single day, no matter what, has been such a liberating and joyful thing. And it makes it so it's true when you ask me how I am and I say outrageous, just because that's where I live. But I love the fact that you're teaching and sharing and modeling it. You said something else earlier that I thought was really important. You can learn something and talk about it, but we're then talking about that thing over there. When it's something you have been through and it's your own experience, then you speak with power because it's authentic and it's true. And that love is such a foundational piece. So I'm grateful to you for being an advocate for that. Good for you.
Thank you. Yeah, I recognize sometimes even when I talk with my clients, let's say something's off in my life, I'm like, shoot, I'm not practicing what I'm preaching. So I'm like, you know, we need to come back into alignment. Because your body senses that. Your body knows when something's not right or if something's out of alignment, and it's like you're lying to yourself, but you're trying to tell other people how to do it. There's no truth in there.
You know what? I don't know, but I got a few more years in the world than you do. And I can tell you that that's something I did not understand when I was your age. What you're just saying, you cannot bear witness of the truth of something you're not living. You can talk about the truth of something that you're not living, but it carries no power. When you are the embodiment, and that's why I keyed on your word embodiment, when you are literally the embodiment of what you teach, nutrition, taking care of your body, listening to intuition, managing your energetics, living from a place of love. Like when you're that truth and you talk to somebody, it makes you completely irresistible.
Well, that's where like the title sovereign embodiment leadership comes into, because it's, you're speaking from truth. you stand out and you talk to people from lived experience, from lived truth. Like, people can feel that. People can feel like if you're just reading a textbook and it's like, oh, well, this is what I was taught and this. People go to other people because they've lived through the experience. And those are the people I feel like that can help. When I was going through all my medical stuff, I was going to doctors and stuff, and all doctors were like, everything's fine. Everything's fine. I'm like, I'm not fine. But it's like, once I connected with people that have went through what I went through, that is what helped me. Because those people understood, and people want to be understood and help to move and, you know, become themselves through people who have walked that path. So I think, you know, the best. Go ahead.
No, you're 100% right. What do you do? This is something I struggled with when I first started my radical transformation in 2007. I didn't want people to know. Like, I had situations and addictions and problems and stuff for decades that ruined my life and suicide attempts and all the rest. I didn't want anybody to know. That was, you know, the transparency, authenticity scared the crap out of me. So how do you, and I don't feel that way anymore, and I've written books about everything, but how do you help people realize that there's liberation and freedom in authenticity? Because I know you practice it, but I'm curious how you help people see and lean into that truth.
Well, first of all, whenever I talk to them, the first thing I tell them is, however much you share, that's however much I can help you. I won't know, like, the more truth you tell me, the more I can help you. But the more you lie or not tell the truth, then I can't help you. And I always mention, like, the truth will set you free. So even if the truth sucks sometimes to tell, it sets your body free. It sets the other person, let's say if you're talking to somebody else, you know, as hard as the ego is to break down and tell the truth, that's the one thing that can, you know, it changes things, but it probably will change things for the better and however they're supposed to be. So if somebody's having problems with relationships, for example, and, you know, you say the truth, the foundation of a relationship is no longer standing on a rocky foundation. We want to be building things from a strong foundation, from truth. So I use a lot of analogies to help people really understand, you know, the mind and how it functions, and then how that feels in the body, if that's constricting or if that's expansive, or what's happening in their body as I mentioned some of these things.
I love the way you keep going back to that constriction and expansion feeling. When we live inauthentically, or we lie, or we shade, or we leave stuff out, we feel that constriction. Me, it's in my stomach. Maybe it's in somebody's shoulders, wherever, but you feel it and you know it. In fact, you feel it so strongly, you wonder if everybody's looking at you, because you think that there's some kind of an external manifestation of that constriction. And when you are transparent, authentic, and truthful, it does. Your shoulders open, they drop, and it feels that openness. And I recognize that, and I love that you're teaching that. So I want to give you time right now to teach or share anything that we haven't talked about that you want to. So this is just sort of open from your experience, from your teachings, or anything.
Well, I do want to, before we move on to that, I do want to mention another thing based on what you just said, which is quite important. And something I've recognized for myself is, you know, talking. So many people will just hold everything inside, because they'll go inside, they start creating stories of, what is this person going to think? What is this? What is that? Sometimes just, you know, standing there in front of another person just saying, I'm feeling frustrated because from my perspective, this is how this felt. And it's like, okay, like, your frustration was let out. And from your perspective, you talk about what happened to you, instead of what most people will go into. It's like, you did this, you did that, you did this. It's like, let's claim what's happening in your body, instead of taking all of this energy and throwing it at somebody else. So I also think it's extremely important to be, what's the word I want to use? it's not empowering, but it's embodying, it's taking responsibility for like yourself and not falling into victimhood.
I love that, not blaming others. So back to whatever it is you want to share, if I'm not saying there has to be, but I just want to make sure that you have shared the fundamental, powerful, important things that you want people to know about you, about your work, about your experiences.
So I would definitely say the very first thing is always having a vision. Always having a vision when like through your life, because it's like, yes, we're here in this present moment matters, but having a vision of how you want your life to be, and don't think small, like make it big. And even if that means, if it's career or if it's relationships with friends, if it's health, you know, some people are stuck, I would say, in chronic fatigue, like constantly with this with some type of diagnosis, thinking they'll never get out. But it's like, if you can be your best self possible, how would your life look like? What would that entail? What type of people would be there? Like, we need to really have a vision of that. And, you know, we spoke about like, what is our vision for the impact of this world? But like I said, vision doesn't just come from impact on the world, but also how you want your life to be. And recognizing the small things that come into your life, because once you have this vision, things will be coming into your life. But it's not like, oh, I want to be a billionaire, and you're going to become a billionaire immediately. But recognize the small things that are coming. Maybe you're getting more clients. Maybe, you know, you start playing an instrument somewhere and you're getting more, I don't know, more people hearing your music. It's the very little things, because once you start recognizing the gratitude for the little things, more things will start coming. And then the other thing I would really like to talk about is embodiment and like being yourself. And if that comes from practicing like everyday energy hygiene, energy basics, what I teach my clients and what I do myself every single day, even multiple times per day, to bring myself back. Because that's when you become yourself. You start listening to what is your energy versus what is somebody else's energy. Because I would say, like myself, some people will constantly be tuning into other people and their experiences and how people do their life and how other people do and how other people are feeling. So their energy all goes outwards instead of it being tuned inwards into themselves. So it's about really practicing and honing in on that. And that comes through, you know, a skill that a lot of people don't want to do is mindfulness, meditation, energy basics, energy fundamentals, and really committing yourself to that, because that's that change from going from the analytical mind to going to becoming embodied. And this is the change a lot of people don't want to do.
I love that. It's going from what everybody tells you is important to what's really important. So I'm going to take this last little bit and ask you to tell us where, I don't know if you have, I don't remember, and I'm sorry, your website, books, articles, channels, where can they follow you? If they hear this and they say, wow, I need a little more Michelle, where do they go to do that?
So my website is sovereignembodiment.com. So just without the space, as you can see. So it'll be sovereignembodiment.com. And on there, you'll find ways to contact me, my Instagram, email, more information about me. So you can find, there's also like a free download for, I wrote a short book. It's called The Sovereign Path Through the Grit, the Grind, and the Becoming. So there's a free download for that. And that's where I can get connected with people.
Well, I love that. And I hope that you someday write the book of Michelle, you know, and you talk about the entire journey of your becoming, because I've done hundreds of these, thousands of interviews, and I am constantly reminded that the most important gift that we have is the story of our own becoming. Michelle, I want to thank you for sharing your heart, your wisdom, your journey, and your love with us today.
Thank you, Kellen. Thank you so much for having me.
You are just absolutely welcome. So I want you listeners to take a moment here and understand what happened. She has had a set of experiences. So have you. She made some choices about what those experiences would and wouldn't do to her. Some of them were a struggle. Some of them repeated, ups and downs. We all have that. And the key is, are you going to let the things that happen ruin you or refine you? And even if you let them ruin you or make difficult for a day, a week, a month, a year, a decade, you can choose at any moment to let the difficult things of life, the experiences, what other people do or don't do, you can let them refine you and make you more powerful, more clear, more valuable, full of love and energy, those things that are attractive in the world. Because all of those are first line ingredients in the recipe to create your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.